Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's another good night, and I just want to say good evening to everybody. Today, I have a very simple task, and that task you will know in 1 minute. I'm here tonight just to introduce the guys in red. These are special people. I talked a little bit about them yesterday, but that ran me into some trouble because we were trying to get, where's Rebecca? We are trying to get Rebecca an American husband. But because I said that to get married to a Maasai, you must kill a lion, there's no American coming forward. Hallelujah! I want my people to come. They'll give us two quick songs. And I think let's just give them a round of applause. Just come. They're going to show you some of the best of Africa. And my brother Marcus Knight forgot to tell you that I am his latest after the little guy. Welcome.
The first chorus you're going to say says, everything in heaven on earth will one day bow before the Lord.
Amen.
The second one says, God, cover me with your power so that I can testify to the world your goodness. And our God shall bless you richly. Amen.
Indagidimbogi nigirugogi no hiyage mesi. Oh, indagidimbogi nigirugogi no hiyage mesi. Oh, yarolo sholang egirugogi no hiyage mesi. Indagidimbogi nigirugogi no.
Yeah.
best things come last. But I want to tell you, we will come back. How many of you want to come back? Hallelujah. I'm going to call Pastor, my pastor, to take over from me. And round the thing for you. Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for the Waterworks Conference. It is great to see all of you this evening. Aren't you so grateful for our friends from that side of the A little over 4 weeks ago, we had a chance to travel with a group of almost 50 of us to Maasai Land, where we held a great worship festival and did a water project that is going to provide for a $15,000 investment from our congregation. That pumping station that we installed is going to provide water for almost 30,000 people and their livestock. And I just want to say a word about these men and women that have come to join us. They have come at great personal sacrifice. Most of these men are pastors of churches. Bishop Kuina, would you just stand? This is Bishop Kuina. He is the presiding bishop over the churches. We honor you, Bishop. And the need in Maasai Land is so great that these men and women came at great personal sacrifice. Many of them sold their own cows and sheep to raise the airfare to come and be here to represent their nation and represent their country. And I want them to go home with a blessing. We're going to have an opportunity to do that a little later tonight. I want to make you aware that out in the main lobby, they have brought with them some beautiful things. We're all going a little tribal here around harvest time. Every time I see my wife, she has another string of beads around her neck and another bracelet, but it's been a lot of fun. But they've brought many beautiful things with them. If you've seen the giraffes and the elephants, and some of the carvings out there, they are magnificent, the beadwork, and all of the sales of these items are going to help support these people and to assist them in this time of drought and going to the aid of the Maasai people. Because this is the last night of the conference, we are discounting the price on all of those things by 20%. And so I hope you'll go out and take a look at some of those beautiful things and take something home to remember our Maasai friends and something you'll enjoy for your home and something that would be a blessing to all of our people. Well, I want to introduce our speaker this evening. Pastor Judy Shaw is with us from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And Pastor Judy has been instrumental in something new that is happening among the Maasai people. And she's coming to share with us about some of her experiences in Maasai Land and talk about the need that is there and what we can do to meet it. Would you please welcome Pastor Judy Shaw from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It's in Jesus' name and with Jesus' joy that I greet you tonight. The Bible says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Amen. Looking at my brothers as they were singing and dancing, and they were rejoicing. Amen. Now, if you don't know what rejoicing is, that's rejoicing. Amen. And then the Bible tells us that we can rejoice with them that rejoice. So come on, let's do that again with him. Let's just rejoice in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, come on, Harvest. Come on, United States. Hallelujah. Every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue. Glory to your name, Jesus. We give honor and glory to him. This side is doing good. What about this side? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's all going to him. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 We thank our Father for this time. And Pastor Glenn, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. And you're our friend. You're our brother. And we're so glad that God has used you and is using you not only in this geographical time and place, but in the world. And I know that you that are at harvest time, you ought to be glad that you are a part of this church. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of it. Hallelujah. And one of the things when I think about church, I think about places like this that really emulate and represent what it's all about. You know, church is not an institution. It's a movement. This is a movement, y'all. This is not a monument. This is a movement. This is not an organization, a mere organization, but this is an organism. This is a movement. And I'm so glad that we are a part of a movement to advance the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In these last and evil days. Church as we knew it, church as I knew it, is over. And it's a new day and it's a new time for us to come on and take a hold to the promises of God and to what God is doing. And I'm so glad that God is just really opening our eyes. And Dr. Gary, you're the best. You're the best. You're the best. Pam is the very best, but you're the best. It's so good to see all of these pastors and their wives that have come all the way from across the states, across the waters, that have the same kind of heart, same precious life faith, that believe in what this pastor and the president of ICCL is doing, and we're just so glad to be a part of it. I'm just going to take a few moments, and then, of course, to my brothers, brother, your honorable Ken and your honorable Mike, all the way from Nairobi and Nakuru. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here today. But thank God for your vision, your time, your heart, your sacrifices. Thank God for your wives lending you to us so that God can do what he wants to do through us. Just a quick scripture tonight that comes out of Micah, the 6th chapter. You know where Micah is? Where is it? In the Bible someplace? Come on, guys. Where's Micah? It's not Malachi. Where's Micah? Is it after Habakkuk? Is it before Nahum? Yeah. Micah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. This passage of scripture answers a lot of questions. And I believe tonight that not only will you be challenged by this scripture, but it's gonna bless you, and it will also challenge you to the will of God concerning your lives as it is given to the body of Christ. Here, God pleads with Israel, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse, and it simply says this: He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? I told you it's gonna answer questions. What does the Lord require of you? One of the questions as a pastor that frequents me, that comes to me a lot of time, is, I don't know, Pastor Judy, what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Where in the body of Christ? What's my place in the body? And we hear all of these questions a lot of time. But here the prophet says that this is what the Lord requires of you: but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Isn't that good? I'm going to read that again. He has already shown us, and this is what the Lord requires: to do justly, to do right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The Apostle Paul gave an apostolic prayer in the book of Ephesians that we all know, and he simply says this, that His prayer is that the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, he wasn't talking to the heathens or other nations. He was talking to the body of Christ. He said that my prayer is that the eyes of your heart and the eyes of your mind would be opened. He says, he prays that the eyes, that we would have a greater understanding, illumination as well as enlightenment, and then also revelation. He says that there's something that we've not been seeing very clearly, and there's something that we need God to open our eyes and open our heart. And I believe tonight that as Jesus prayed the prayer in the 17th book of John, when he says that I pray, and this was just about, I believe, the last prayer that he prayed before he left earth, I pray that you would be one as me and the Father, that you would be one as me and the Father. And so someone would maybe ask the question, then what is this unity all about? What is this oneness about? I can just simply answer the question to say, well, if it's to be as he was with the Father, then how about we do it like Jesus did it? We do what the Father did, and we say what the Father said. And so I believe tonight that the challenge that the Apostle Paul was giving to the church, not only to open our eyes, but to know about the power and the rich inheritance that's within us, tonight I believe that we have hit a place, Dr. Gary, that we've been talking about for the last two decades. I remember when our brother Mario wrote that book and he talked about critical mass. And we hear that word thrown around quite a bit. But I want to announce tonight that we have hit critical mass. I want to announce that. And I'll qualify why I said that. And I'm saying that everybody has not seen the real picture. Everybody has not had the full understanding. All the scales are not off of everybody's eyes. Everybody doesn't have the same agenda or the same motive, or everybody is not serving Jesus for the real reason. Everybody doesn't have the same mandate. Everybody doesn't gauge success as Jesus gauged success. Everybody is not about the mission of Jesus as he was. But I want to announce emphatically tonight that God has a remnant that has hit critical mass. Anytime you can get about 20 men that to come all the way across these waters to come to the United States after making such sacrifices, and men and women of God that have left their busy schedules, and a pastor after God's own heart that have opened his doors, and mission leaders and you people of God that have left your home to come here tonight, I believe we're in the midst of critical mass. I believe that. Now, everybody doesn't get it at the same time. We're all on our journey, and we're at different places on our journey. But he did promise that there would be a church out of a church. Apostles out of apostles. Pastors out of pastors. Teachers and evangelists out of the fivefold ministry. So I want to say, open your eyes tonight, because the move is on. Open your eyes tonight, because the river is flowing. Open your eyes tonight, because some of us really understand what this thing is all about. And I can stand here to say that I'm third generation in the body of Christ, and being a charismatic or Pentecostal, whatever you want to call me tonight. But I'm third generation in salvation, and I've heard for many, many days, and my granddaddy was a preacher. He had 11 children, and 9 were pastors, and two of the daughters were missionaries, and 2 were Baptist deacons, and so on. And so I come out of a generation, and I come out of Christendom where I learned how to do church. I learned how to do church. I know how to do church. I've sung in the choirs. I directed the choirs. I taught Sunday school and was over a lot of the programs, and a president of this and a president of that. And we fumbled for many years trying to do what we call church. But I believe tonight that we that are here today, and there are some others that are in Presbyterian churches and other churches, whether it's a Pentecostal church or a Lutheran church or a Catholic church, but there's a church out of a church that God is giving, that understand the real agenda of God and understand what God is doing in these last days.
Understand that it's not just about coming to church. Understand that it's not about singing in the choir and having our talents. And that's good and that's fine. But I believe that there's what I call, you know, a glory of God that's resting over us. And the glory of God that's resting over the church is not just a glory that we can see, that we can feel, and that we can dance in and shout in, or even lie prostrate on the ground and worship our Lord and Savior. But even during these few nights of meetings, I felt the weighted glory of God. Hebrew and the Greek has a word for that, doxa, I think the Greek is, and the Hebrew is kabod. And I feel tonight, Doctor, that God is pressing us into the weightier matters of Him, the heavy weight of God, which surpasses our dancing and shouting on Sunday morning, which surpasses our personal prophecies, which surpasses just, you know, us coming to church and get a feel good. I believe that we've caught a hold to the heart of God tonight, and that we understand what it is to save the next generation, that we understand what it is to help the needy. That we understand Matthew 25, as you preached it on last night, Gary, that Jesus would say, well, I was hungry, but you didn't feed me. We're talking about the weightier matters, the weightier things. We've so long minored in the major and majored in the minor. But I'm telling you, even seeing these young people that my brother brought here and seeing others, our eyes have been opened. The scales have fallen off of our eyes, and we're not caught and we're not stuck in religion as we used to be. And we understand that the church is more than what we've called it to be and what we know it to be. Can I get a witness tonight? I believe that you're here tonight because you understand what it is, how important it is to help somebody that don't have water to have water. You understand that this thing is not about just us or our church. You understand that it's about the next generation. You understand it's about helping prosperity with a purpose. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I said I'm blessed to be a blessing. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 8 and 18 that He has given us the power to get wealth for a purpose. For a purpose. And so you're sitting here today and you're anointed for a reason. You're blessed for a purpose. If we have anything today, it's because God has given it to us. And He's given it to us not for ourselves. Did you know that my anointing is not for me? And your anointing is not for you? But listen, my anointing is for you, and your anointing is for me. Hallelujah. So I come to bless you, and you come to bless me. And so when God begins to take the scales off of our eyes, and when God begins to bring His purposes and His agenda to the front ground, and that prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed, that the church needs the eyes to be open. I just want to declare tonight that I believe that I'm looking at a people tonight, and we've got our eyes open. We've got our eyes on the cross. We've got our eyes on the work of the cross. We've got our eyes on what Jesus did and the mandate to occupy until He comes. We got our eyes on the scripture that says that we are ambassadors reconciling the world back to God. We got our eyes on that, as my brother said, that before Jesus Christ comes, that it has to be a restitution of all things. We have our eyes on who we are in the kingdom of God, and not just the kingdom of man, but the kingdom of God. And I believe that we are just not being shifted to a place, but I believe that the wind of the Spirit is thrusting us, is pushing us and causing us to move in a very rapid pace. We've been blessed to be a part of these great teams that have been going over to the Maasai land, and we've seen something, people. We've felt something. We now know something that we didn't know before. And we're doing something about what we've seen. And we're doing something about what we've felt. I mean, if you've not had a chance, and you can have a chance, you know, you really can have a chance to go over and to be a part of this great move of God that God is doing, not only in the Maasai land, but all across the world. We're so blessed, America, aren't we? Come on, Steve, I heard you. We're so blessed. And to whom much is given, much is required. You know, we know what the seducing spirits in America are all about, the spirits of materialism, and that's why Paul says in Romans the 12th chapter, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I believe tonight that I'm looking at a people whose mind has been renewed to the real purposes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He told us that we have a job to do. We have a commission to do. We have a mandate over us to help those that need help, to reach the unreached, to bring the unbrought, to teach the untaught. We have a job to do, and it's more than just coming to church and listening, but we have something to do. It's not only to do, but it's to be. And as God has called us to be the express image of his glory, I believe that it's time for us to show forth the glory of God. I'm so glad to have seen what I've seen as God has bringing revival. I mean, right before our eyes, we're watching God to restore a nation. He told us to ask for the nations, didn't he? He said, ask for the nations. And we've been asking for the nation, and he's given us the nations. I said, he's given us the nations. It's just not about local. It's not just about community. It's not just about, you know, just the statewide or even national. It's about the nations. He said, ask for the nations, not only the cities. Ask for the nations. And we are seeing right before our eyes that God is changing a nation. Hallelujah. And we are a part of it. You are a part of it. Come on, keep clapping. You are a part of it. You can see it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can give into it. Hallelujah. One of the things that David said in Psalms, there's an implication, a strong implication in Psalms 8, 5, and 6 that says that man was created in the glory of God. And then Matthew 5 and 6 tells us that we bring glory to God by what we do. We bring glory to God by what we do. And as do you remember when Moses told God that to show me your glory? You remember that? Let's just wrap it up here. But he told God to show me your glory. When he was speaking face to face with God in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. And so the Lord told Moses, he assured him that if you go, my presence will go with you. I want to just take a moment to say to Dr. Keltner and to Pastor Glenn that as you go, the Lord and his presence goes with you. As you put your hands to the things of God, to the weightier matters, there is a heavy glory that's over this church. There's a weighted glory that's over ICCL that's pressing you into the things of God. And you know, even the whole thing of the rig outside, digging. God is taking us to deeper places. It's very symbolic of what God is saying to us. You know, all of the shallow stuff. Time is out for that, whatever it is. But God is saying, I'm pressing you as the rig is out there digging, going deep. The deep calleth unto the deep. And there's a greater reward. And as you begin to put your hands to what God has given you to do, you're going to see that his presence is with you. And needless to say that is your prayer, that you will not go. I've been in many meetings with Dr. Keltner, and he says, if the Lord doesn't say it, it will not happen. He gets very emphatic. Pam, I've seen him when he gets a little, you know, he gets, I thought he was kind of nice, you know, and you know, a little, not passive, but just nice and kind. But when you start messing with the things of God with Gary, I mean, you see righteous indignation come up before him. And I'll say that God has given us the understanding that it's serious time. I had a vision one time when I saw the kingdom of God coming down out of the sky on an orbit. And it was a model of a kingdom, a replica of a kingdom. And I said, what is this, God? What is this? And he said, It's a kingdom. It's my kingdom coming into the earth. And I looked over into the kingdom and it was open and I saw all these rays of glory, of rays of gold and colors of just majesty. And I recognized, I said, oh my God, this is the Ark of the Covenant. And as I looked into it, I know that normally when you see the Ark of the Covenant, you see angels around it. And I looked and I saw not angels around it. I saw lions around it. And I said, Lord, these are not the angels that I normally would see, Pastor Al. And he said, there's been a changing of the guards, even in the heavenlies. He says, no, they're not just the regular angels, but the angels are like lions. And they're not just covering the glory, but they're protecting the glory. I can say, Dr. Gary, you are a protector of the glory of God. You are a protector of the things of God. And the Lord blessed you real good for that. And we're living in times when God is saying to men and women that I need you to be discerning. I need you to come apart and be a part of what I'm doing. I need you to put your hands where my hand is. I need you to discern what's good and what's not. And I need you to discern what I'm doing and see for yourself that this is not only a good thing, but this is a God thing. Apostle James offered a passage of scripture that was a little tough, but it's true. And he said, if it's in the power of your hands to do it, do it. And then he said something a little further. If we don't, it's sin. It's still strong. But he says, I'm talking to serious people. And I want you to know how serious my work is. If it's in your power to do it, do it. But to them that don't do it, it's sin. It's in our power to not only bless this great work, but every day we get a chance to bless somebody. Every day we get a chance to go to our jobs and speak kind words and to release blessings, release goodwill, release peace to someone. Our neighbors, our neighborhood, we can do kind acts. We can give God the glory. And so as I close, I'm just going to say to you that God is looking for us to release his glory and we are the glory of God and his presence. He has promised his presence to go with us. So as we do and as we be who God has called us to be, and as we show forth the glory of God by releasing his character, I often say that worship is breathing in God's nature and exhaling his character. Breathing in his nature. And as we release Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we begin to be his glory and to do those things that he's called us to do, our God will be glorified. And this is the chief purpose of man, is that he gets the glory out of our lives. Hallelujah. God bless you as you decide to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. Amen. God bless you as your eyes are open today to see what God is doing and to go further than what you've gone and to be a part of a greater purpose. God bless you as you say yes. God bless you as you go into God's resources that you have, that he's given you stewardship over, just, you know, until he says give it. God bless you as you obey God. God bless you as you allow God's heart to come through your heart and be a blessing to his work. Amen. You are blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you.
We said last night that we are not here to talk about the global water crisis. We are here to do something about it. Last night, I felt in the spirit to challenge you to attempt something so big that you are bound to fail unless God helps you. See, the greatest tragedy in the world is not what is happening to the 1 billion people who don't have clean water. That is a tragedy. There's a far greater tragedy because we have it in our hands to do something about it. Paul said, the word is near you. It is even in your mouth. The word of the living God has been speaking to us and hovering over this place during these couple of days. God has it in his heart to launch something from this water conference that is going to bring living water, not to hundreds of villages or thousands of villages, but to tens of thousands of villages around this world. A year ago, Harvest Time moved into a campaign called Accelerate, because the leadership of this church sensed an acceleration in the spiritual realm, what God wanted to do in and through this congregation. Well, God doesn't operate in a compartmentalized way. He operates in a unified theory. And so if God's accelerating in Harvest Time, it's because there is a larger acceleration in the earth. See, I would say tonight, let those who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If we can hear what God would say to us tonight, we have an opportunity to be part of something that is so big that it will absolutely change the way we think, change the way we live, change our manner of being. See, the water conference really isn't about your money. The scripture says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But the truth is, he'd take money from a grouch. Isn't that right, Steve? He's been in depression ever since the 2nd of April when the baseball season started. The challenge tonight is very simple. It is to do something. To let God speak something into your spirit. I said last night, we used to say that we can't all go, but we could all give. The reality is today, almost all of us can go. And you know what? Almost all of us need to go. So that the needs of the earth are not a video or a direct mail appeal, but so that they seep into our soul and change us. When you start thinking about what to do as a result of this water conference, if you are a minister and you are in this place or you feel called to ministry, you need to make up your mind that somewhere in the next 12 to 18 months, you are going to go. You say, but I don't have the finances to go. I once asked T.L. Osborne, who's probably seen more miracles than any man in the 20th century. I said, Brother Osborne, what was the key to seeing miracles? He said, I don't know. I never saw any unless we needed them. The critical thing is to step out. So I would say, if you are a leader, if you see yourself as a leader in the body of Christ, whether you're clergy or whether you're sitting in the pew or whether you're in corporate offices, you really need to make up your mind that somewhere in the next 12 to 18 months, you are going to go. And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever you do, do it with all your might. The Apostle Paul said, when you find to do good, do it. When you have the opportunity to do good, do it with all your might. I want to challenge you to do something so big. Now, some of you will write checks tonight. That's great. But I want to get you to think about the next year, the next 12 months, that as a family, you will attempt to do something so great that you absolutely are bound to fail unless God helps you. There are folks in this house who need to think about drilling a well as a family. I had somebody talk to me tonight, and their faith challenged my faith. The Spirit of God had spoken them to drill two wells. I don't know what God would speak to you to do, but I want to challenge you to step into the zone of the impossible, because that's where you meet the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to host a mini water conference in your house or in your neighborhood or in the place of your business. If you're here as a pastor, maybe you want to host a water conference in your congregation. I know that no one of us can solve this problem by ourselves, but here's the part I'm absolutely sure about. That one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. And it was explained to me earlier tonight, but I am mathematically challenged. I was even given the formula, repeated three times, but I at least got this much. 200 can put a whole lot of folks to flight. We can do this. Ushers are going to distribute these commitment cards again. And they're going to give one to everybody, every man, every woman, every child. There are children. You get allowances. You get birthday money. You do odd jobs. Wouldn't it just be so cool to know that other kids are going to live because you made up your mind that you're going to take something out of everything that you get, out of every dollar you get, out of every birthday gift you get, you're going to help another child have the gift of water and have the gift of life. You know, as I look at the Maasai pastors, 15, 16 of them with us, wouldn't it be incredible if out of a conference like this, instead of drilling one or two more wells in Maasai land, we could drill another 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 wells in Maasai land in the next year. And in Senegal, and in Bangladesh, and in Nigeria. Brothers, would you please distribute these cards? Marcus is getting ready to come back. Marcus wanted to tell you this earlier. He couldn't. But I taught Marcus everything he knows. Actually, I taught him everything I know. That only took about 3 minutes. But as the brothers distribute these cards, I want you to hold it in your hand and see it as more than a piece of paper, but see it as an opportunity for God to speak to you. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me right now. And just do something that's hard to do in a Pentecostal church. Let's just have a moment or two of silence and reflection. Each one of you, ask God to drop something incredible into your spirit. Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege for us to be your children, to be in this place at this time, experience incredible fellowship, the gift of your presence as we have in this house tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Glenn and Denise, for this wonderful congregation that has such a big heart. Lord, thank you for folks who are here from many churches in the tri-state, from across the United States. Thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sister from Kenya. Lord, whose presence reminds us of the great opportunity that is before us right now. Holy Spirit, drop something into our hearts. Like a little boy named Samuel, whom you awoke in the middle of the night by calling his name. Lord, in calling his name, you are marking him for use. You are marking him for destiny. A little boy who was maybe 5 or 6 years old didn't know a lot about theology, but he knew enough to say, "Speak. Your servant is listening." Lord, right now, that's really the prayer we pray back to you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Now, as Marcus ministers to us again, I want you to take out a pen. And I want you to fill out the card. Write down what God's speaking to you. You may have had a number come into your mind or a project that is absolutely outrageous. There's no way to get there from here. Well, congratulations. That's what faith is. It is the evidence of things hoped for. It's about things unseen and impossible. But you're giving God a chance to act on your behalf when you write down the thing that you hear and you're really committing yourself to it. And then Pastor Glenn's going to come back to receive the offering. Some of you may be ready to write a check tonight, and if that's true, that is just fabulous. But you may be tackling something much, much bigger. And so tonight isn't an ending point, it's a starting point. Marcus?
Amen. I wanted to take the opportunity to I started telling you about 9/11, and the reason why I brought it up is to bring it all together. But before I do that, I just wanted to say that I'm here today because I was raised as a child to love God. And it was me as a child who brought my mother, my brothers, my uncles, because I kept going, and they couldn't understand why. Because there's nothing that the world wanted. There's nothing that the world had that of substance that I needed. So I found something real in the church. Between then and now, God gave me gifts. All I ever wanted to do in my life is to give them to Him. But at certain points, I wasn't allowed to because it wasn't acceptable in church. And I say that just to say this, God took me around the world, in and out, up and down, all over, but you know what? He never makes a mistake. He brought me to my pastor, which I appreciate. I'm with Crossway. And he brought me to Gary, which Gary and both of them said, we believe in you. We believe you have something. And now I'm coming to you. I have here the number that's impossible. I have here something that's a pen. It says, United, we're still standing. As I came from 9/11 with a flag on my back that I dug out of the rubble from after searching for bodies and so forth, I came to 125th Street and I ran across one of our presidents, President Clinton, where he saw me walking down the street with this flag and he said, now that's the picture of an American. And then somebody else said, United we stand. And I said, no, United we're still standing. And I got so excited because the crowd heard me and they started, I said it again and again. And the next thing you know, there was an uproar and I never lost that. But years later, I stand before you with cancer from that. But you know, God doesn't make mistakes. From that, I regurgitated this pen, which is now going to be distributed globally as a pen of hope and uniting not only of America, but uniting of Africa. The number that God gave me, they tell me this is a $1 billion project. So 25% of the multi-billion-dollar project is committed already to Africa. We want to raise in 10 years $1 billion for Africa. How's that for a number to reach for? And if God said it, it will be done. Can I ask Shamira to come up? Shamira? As I stated, she's going to be... God also brought me to my partner. Here. Need to test that. My partner, which is Mr. Smith. Please come up. Who is from Sierra Leone. And God gave me the opportunity of using this gift for Africa by writing a song for Sierra Leone, which, again, we presented to the president. She's going to be singing the lead on this. We've got African children from there going to be doing it. We're going to do it an a cappella piece. We're just going to give you a verse and a chorus to give you a feel for it. And you just got to wait for the video from there. Okay? So it begins with my brother and I uniting. Please begin.
One sense man said.
A wise man said.
Today is the day for change.
Today is the day for change. It is also a day for unity.
So
we must overcome our shortcomings. And conquer those things that abound our mind, hearts, and spirits.
From joy,
love,
peace,
and freedom. And freedom.
We're down on our knees, broken and bruised. With no relief inside, Tell us, what can we do? Nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Cursed with sickness, a country waiting to die. How can it be that no one can see us? How can you look and not hear me needing support? A hand up, not a hand down. We've got to keep on trying, despite our fears and doubts.
Sierra Leone
is a land that we call our home.
Suppressed and repressed
for far too long.
We're taking the war
within ourselves and our mentality.
Taking a stand
and ready to fight for the right to be free.
Sierra Leone
is a land that we call our home.
Suppressed and repressed,
and repressed for far too long.
First facing the war
within ourselves and our mentality.
Taking a stand
and ready to fight for the right to be free. Together we can save our home, Sierra Leone.
But again we say,
but again we say,
today is the day where we for do am.
Today is the day that we should.
We can do am.
We can.
We get for change.
We must change.
We get for build.
We must build.
And we get for grow.
And we must grow. God bless.
Thank you so much, everyone. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would come, and we're going to receive an offering this evening. Perhaps you're ready to put a commitment in for Waterworks. By the way, Waterworks is not only Harvest Time Church, but it is a partnership of churches and community leaders from around Fairfield County and Westchester County. And if you are making a check, you would make that to Heartbeat International. Heartbeat International is the Waterworks charitable giving organization that is going to distribute the funds. The partnership that formed a little over a year ago, we have already completed water projects in Nigeria, in Bangladesh, in Kenya. We have a team from our church that is leaving in about 3 weeks. We are going to put down two wells in the country of Bangladesh. We are making about a $40,000 investment, not only in wells, but we are taking a team of doctors and medical professionals, and we are feeding, how many people, Steve? 5,000 people while we were over there. And so the plan is working all over the world, and we hope that you'll just give generously. Ushers, if you would come, please. I want to ask all of our Maasai brothers, I want to do something to end the night. How many of you would like to go tribal one more time tonight before we end? I'm going to ask all of our Maasai friends, our brothers and sister, would you come? And we're going to just have a prayer and a benediction and receive the offering. And then we want you guys to just let loose and lead us one more time in the high praises of the Lord. Come up on the stage behind me. And I would like to ask my dear friend, Pastor Al Ebanks from Grand Cayman Island, who has been part of this water partnership, if he would come and to ask a blessing over this offering and to give a benediction. Ushers, you can go ahead and begin to receive that offering. Pastor Al, would you come, please? Pastor Al has been working in partnership with us, and his church has been participating. They gave a $10,000 or $15,000 gift to repair a well drilling rig in Kenya that is putting down wells. Pastor Al, would you please just offer a blessing and a benediction for this?
Pastor Glenn, just let me say it's been a delight. This is my first time to this neck of the woods. And it's been a delight to be with you and Sister Denise and your family. And of course, the church family, and then all the other folks that we've connected with that have also gathered here with you this week. We are in love with Jesus, And if you love Jesus, you can't help but love his people, no matter where they are or what their names are. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of the kingdom of God. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I could not understand a word that the Messiah was saying. But I sure could feel everything they were saying. And that's the wonderful thing about the kingdom of God. There's such a connection with us all. So, Father God, we stand in your presence tonight, knowing that these last days have been days of tremendous blessing, days of conviction, days, Father God, of encouragement, days, Father, of envisioning and of opening our eyes, days, Father, where we have considered that you have shown us what is good. You have shown us what you require of us, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We stand in this house tonight, Lord, as your servants. We declare, Father, that you have blessed this house. This house is blessed because of your presence. This house is blessed because of the gift that you have placed in this house, in this your manservant, and those that you have placed around him, Father God, in this body. We thank you that this house is blessed to be a blessing, not only to this region, Lord God, but indeed the nations of the world. And so we speak for divine protection. We speak for divine provision, Father God. We speak tonight, Lord God, your grace and your favor, Father, on everything they set their hands to do. Oh God, we thank you that we have the wisdom that comes from above. And Lord, tonight we thank you for each one that is sown into this offering tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father God, it is you who have given us power to obtain wealth. And I declare tonight in Jesus' name, the name above all names, hallelujah, the name that releases the blessings, the name, Lord God, that commands the blessings. Father, your word says there is a place of commanded blessings where brethren in unity dwell. Lord, we have dwelt in unity this week. And we declare that there are commanded blessings in this house that will go forth from this place, Lord, to touch Bangladesh, to touch Kenya, to touch the nations of the world. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the seed that your people has sown. And because, Father, they've sown the seed, we thank you, Lord, that they will also be partakers of the harvest. We thank you, Lord God, that the laborer also partakes of the harvest. And so we thank you tonight for releasing your blessings over your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Would you stand together with us? We want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. Our friend, Pastor Mike Brown from Nakuru. Not yet. Just one moment, brother. Our friend, Pastor Mike Brown from Nakuru, Kenya, is with us, one of my favorite people, and he is going to be speaking here at Harvest Time tomorrow evening at our Saturday night service at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30, and I hope you'll be here. And we are going to release you and lead us to glory. Take us to the feet of Jesus. All right, come on, let's go tribal.
Averia, Iyangaya, Bemagoro, Indarasi.